Welcome back to Just Scrap Radio on BJPenn.com. I'm your host, Cole Sheldon. Episode 16, we got a really good lineup for you ahead of this rare Halloween night. The first time the UFC is doing an event on Halloween. Should be a really good fight. Anderson Silva, retirement fight against Uriah Hall. That's a great fight. Really excited to see that out just because the two striker matchups. But on the show today, first up, we're joined by UFC lightweight Alexander Hernandez to preview his fight against Chris Gritzmacher. It's Hernandez's first fight at Factory X. We talk about this kind of opponent, Chris Gritzmacher hasn't fought in a couple years since he beat Joe Lozon, so really interesting opponent. Hernandez had all the hype in the world after knocking out Beneil Dariush on short notice in his UFC debut. Kind of stuttered since then. That lost to Cowboy Cerrone, lost to Drew Dober by TKO in May. He really needs a win here, and he thinks this is the opponent that he can get another good finish on. Next up, we're joined by the Crochet Boss, Maurice Greene, to preview his UFC Vegas 12 fight against Greg Hardy. Really big fight for Maurice Greene. Coming off that win over Jean Valente, wasn't the best win for him. He knows a win over Greg Hardy does a lot for him in his career. Big moment for him. If he can go out and be the first person, to finish Greg Hardy, that says a lot. He thinks he can be on the ground, on the feet. He thinks he's better everywhere than Greg Hardy, and he's really been working on his conditioning, so that should be a good fight. And then next up, we're joined by the James Krause to recap his last win on Fight Island over Claudio Silva, the short notice, the knee injury he believes he tore his MCL, and what the rest of the year looks like. Just a lot of coaching, coaching Megan Anderson for her title fight. A lot of his guys are upcoming. We talk about how his gym's really not getting as much respect as a lot of these big gyms. And then finally, we're closing out the show with EMC fighter and former UFC fighter Brad Katona to preview his title fight on October 31st. Big European promotion. Katona's first fight is being cut from the UFC. We talk about that. He's still not happy. He doesn't think he should have got cut from the UFC, especially when he beat a lot of guys that are still in the promotion. So yeah, he kind of has that chip on his shoulder, but this is he knows this fight against, if he wins a belt, the UFC, Bellator, they're all going to be looking at him. So he knows the options are open. He just has to win. So he's really looking forward to this. And we talk about him training camp at SPG Island, all that's going on. So really good stuff from Brad Katona, but I hope you guys enjoy the show. Be sure to share the show, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and thank you again for listening. All right, joined by UFC lightweight Alexander Hernandez. Alex, how's it going?
Good, bro. How are you?
I'm doing well. Big fight coming up. Chris Gritzmacher, the name we haven't heard in quite some time. When this opponent came across, was this kind of surprising to you that this is the guy you'd be fighting?
I mean, yes and no. You know, not particularly. Everyone I fought up until this point was always had a number by their name or on the precipice of it. Generally, I think everybody I fought at the time of signing had at least a 15 by their name. So after taking the last loss and getting someone who doesn't, isn't like really surprising. If anything, it's kind of more of maybe in line of what I should have had on the way up. But yeah, no difference.
And you're someone, you didn't take any easy fights. Like, your UFC debut was Beneil Dariush. You got that quick knockout. Then ever since then, it was like OAM. Then you had a Cowboy, Francisco Geraldo, Drew Dober. Like,
yeah, some hitters, dude. Yeah, that's a nasty lineup. Like, and that's something the company appreciate too. Like, I got a fat new contract on this deal, which is awesome. And I think a lot of that's because I didn't even know saying no was an option. Like, I just thought it was, yeah. And I've always been game, and I've always been, you know me, like, full of hubris and confidence. And so, I was always down for the challenge and always expect myself to come out with a big victory. So getting this opponent, you know, I don't take him any lightly than any of those other big names that I've had in the past. And I think it's just a good opportunity to show where I'm at.
Well, this is what I want to touch on is, like, ever since your debut, you were fighting these top guys when really it was just, like, so quick turnarounds all the time. Like, do you think this was kind of that right step up where maybe you needed to not be fighting these top 10 guys?
Yeah, man. Like, we were really winging that shit in the beginning, you know, just a kid out of San Antonio. We didn't really have an MMA program. We had boxing and jiu-jitsu. And I just grew up wrestling, you know? And so I was kind of stringing a lot of things together on my own. And I had a wizard of a head jiu-jitsu coach who would, you know, kind of lead us into battle, but, missing that MMA mastermind and just kind of having, like a strategist or any kind of foundation to lean on whenever you're kind of getting those thick waters or even when you're fucking starting the fight, I would just kind of go, just hit like a switch and just pop off. And so, not really having that understanding cost me and And I think that being able to go through that fire so quick, though, you know, aged me in experience in the cage for sure, and opened my eyes to a lot of disparities that I had versus these guys at the top 10. So I made a recent move to Colorado,
yeah,
in pursuit of that mastermind, and you know, I found him. I feel extremely pleased with the progress I've made in like an extremely amount or short amount of time. So,
well, I want to touch on that later, but I guess we can get right into it now. Is you went to Factory X. I know you were kind of trying out a different couple gyms for a while, but what made you decide on Factory X?
Mark Montoya, man. Like I was out, I stayed with some different gyms, it really got along with everybody, and the coaches were awesome, and the teams were cool. But, you know, I stayed at that guy's house, and I was with him from like sun up to sundown for like 6 days straight, and never saw a blemish. And right away, he took me under his wing and started breaking down my fights and just showing me like really minute details that I was slipping on that were costing me, you know, major fractions of the fight. And so I was just so taken aback by him. And then the team that he's got is fucking outstanding. Yeah. And they're guys that he's built up since they were teenagers. It's not really like first round draft picks that just come in for like some celeb photos and a pad holder. It's like guys that he's brought up that he's on the fourth generation of. And there's a bunch of guys that are my age at my level, as far as fights in the UFC or on the crescendo in the UFC. And we're all chasing the same dream, and we're all hungry as fuck. And so it was cool to be surrounded by wolves like that in an atmosphere. And it was a huge climate change shock for me, you know, coming from, I was like the head G over at my gym in Ohana, just being there since day one. I've been there for like 10 years. And so we came up together, and that's family for me, but, everybody knew me. I knew everybody. And so I would push and try to like create as many uncomfortable situations as possible. But there's nothing like just like walking into a whole new lion's den and having everybody try to take a bite at you, you know? And so, it was an awesome experience, and fuck, man, I was nervous to go to practice every day for like the first 6 weeks, you know, like just getting acclimated, and the altitude kicks your ass also. So, I mean, the whole thing was like exactly what I wanted, you know, in the sense of just struggle. So.
And your opponent, Chris Grootsmacher, again, he hasn't fought since he beat Joe Lazone, had a couple of injuries, like a torn ACL. Like, how do you prepare for an opponent like this who's had 2 years off? Because you don't really know what they're going to look like or what they've been working on that time off.
Yeah, you know, I know what he's about, though. You know, and he's a tanker. You know, he's just a durable son of a bitch. So I know I've got everything in the bag to fuck this dude up. I have to be intelligent. Anybody can say this, but I've only always defeated myself. You know, any loss I've ever taken, I've never like sat back and thought, fuck, I got outclassed. It was like, dude, I'm drowning myself in a shallow fucking pond, and that's why I lost that fight. And they executed a better plan with more purpose, more poise, and I was lost in my thoughts and, you know, faking a win until I finally just lost. And so that kind of goes back to what I was saying about having that, like, that baseline. And that's something that I feel like I found now at Factory X, like this, like, no matter what, I know, like, to get on this bicycle, and no matter how I'm feeling, no matter where my head's at, like, I trust in the system. I know once I get on that bike, I'm just going to ride it. And so, like, having something to trust in outside of yourself, a system, a team, a process, like that, I mean, that covers just bounds of just depth that I didn't have before. And so, fighting this guy, I feel like, I'll just go to work. Like, I'll just go to work and not overwork. Cause that's what people do. That's what like Joe Lozon did. He overworked. And that's what a lot of people do. They get excited because he is hittable, but he's tough as fuck. He is. He's super tough. And like, if you think you're going to take him out, I think he probably thrives on that. And he knows that he's going to be around, and he'll fuck you up in the later rounds. And so for me, it's keeping composure, not blowing my load like I had in the past in the first round, you know, or halfway through the second being completely empty. And so that's going to be the biggest test for me, is just like finding that efficiency. And that's what I've been working most.
You were like you mentioned, you were known as that jiu-jitsu guy in San Antonio. We still really haven't seen a whole lot of your jiu-jitsu game in the UFC, but if you look, Grootsmacher is a guy that's had some trouble against some of these jiu-jitsu guys, and he's been submitted. Is this a fight you think we're going to finally really see that ground game of yours?
Yeah, 1,000%, man. The second he's ready to be taken down, I'm going to take him down. But I also like love to just piece it up. I can't explain how different I look. Like, it's fucking bonkers. Like, when you see the shit that I was like getting away with back home with just training systems and like the structure of things and like how many hats I was wearing. It's just wild that we made it the way we did. But I mean, also credit to my fucking team because they got me here and they're good at what they're fucking good at. We just didn't have the experience. But coming here now, I'm looking at old footage of myself and the way I move versus the way I move now when sparring and things. And it's like complete, it's black and white. It's completely different. And it's so much more natural feeling the way I do now versus like some of the shit that I was doing before, because it just felt trendy in the camp, you know, just like, I don't know, just odd things that I was coming up with on my own. Now I kind of have people to lean on and talk to about it. And, systematically, I feel great keeping on the feet for three, however long it takes to take him out or put him on his back and yeah, finishing it immediately, you know, whatever, dude, whatever.
We talked about it before, like earlier, is you've only fought these ranked guys. This is one of your first fights where you're not fights on rank. So what do you think one over Chris does for you? Because to me, I think you get past him, you're probably right back to where you were as fighting those guys in that 15 to 10 range.
Yeah. You know, I'm cool with that. You know, it's like what I came to find was that when I entered it, I was on such a crash course to the top. Like, I just thought I wanted this like McGregor-esque rise, but already I was behind on that, you know, and I just wanted to have this, like, again, just this like hurdle to the top as quickly as possible. And along the way, I was realizing like I was getting offered to fight these guys for fucking peanuts. Like, why am I taking these like top 10 opponents at like baseline contracts or second contracts or third contracts? Like, I want to fight my value, and I want to fight the value of the opponent, and I want to get my name out. I want to build my brand. I want to build a platform along the way too. And so, like, I've learned a lot about the game, and so now I'm gaming the game, you know. So I'll take this fight. I'll make more money. I'll take another fight like it, make more money, and then whenever I'm ready to breach into the top 15 or the top 10 again, I'll do it for the money that I'm worth and the money, the value of my opponents. Those guys are fucking killers at the top 15, the top 10. And I'm not trying to get paid baseline salaries to take on those dangerous ass opponents. So now I'm just being a little bit more systematic about that too, and being business savvy now that I've kind of got my, you know, my toes dirty and I know a little bit about the game.
And this fight's happening in Las Vegas. I know you were out in Fight Island cornering Brandon Roy Valor. Are you glad this one's in Vegas, or do you wish you would have been fighting out there?
I mean, I would have been super down to catch a fight. Like, that's part of the reason why I was up there. I was in the guise of a cornerman, but really, dude, I was ready to pop off at a moment's notice. I'm in shape. I was ready to go. But now that I'm back, yeah, fuck going back to Fight Island anytime soon. You know, like, I feel terrible right now. I'm exhausted. Like, I look like shit. I feel like shit. Like, I'm just and I've just been training. It'll probably take me the rest of this week to get back to normal. And not even just because of jet lag. It just gets so wonky over there by the time, like, you spend a couple weeks out there and you're just kind of screwed up because we're trying to be on almost a nocturnal schedule to adhere to the US's times, right? But over there, the UFC still has expectations during the day for the fighters. And, like, weight cut day is, like, prime hours of us where we're supposed to be sleeping, so we kind of miss a night there, and then the fighter just sleeps as much as possible to get to the fight, and then we, you know, the coaches though are kind of waking up doing things to make sure they're prepped, and then we do that a couple weeks in a row, you're super lagged, and then flying back, you know, you kind of want to sleep on the plane. We got into Vegas at night, and then I had to catch the Denver flight the next morning. But yeah, I'm behind. I've got this stupid whoop band. I don't know if it actually does shit, but it was like, yeah, dude, you're at 15%. I've never seen it that before. But yeah, I'm just kind of I'm a little lagged right now, but I'm happy to be. I'm happy to be in the States. Is the fucking long ass answer to that.
How important is this fight? Just first fight at Factory X, just show off all the improvements, and especially just get back in the win column, start building your momentum back up, because you were a guy that a lot of people had hype around.
And I want it back, and more importantly, I just want to prove what I'm about. Like I know I'm fucking great. Like I know it, and I need to show it because there's no greatness left in the gym. Like what's the point if you're not putting it on display when the lights are on, when it matters. So I'm not trying to be a gym hero and almost there, on the top scene. So this fight's the most important fight of my life, like every other fight, and so I just need to go in there and pop off. That's literally it. And I've done like a way better job too of caring less. Like I used to care so much about, like I would just carry so much tension in the camp because I felt like I was having to, again, kind of wear all these hats in preparation. And so like I would go into the fight confident, but also sometimes too tense. Interviews too tense. Everything is too tense. And so now I'm really trying to let that go, and again, kind of trust in the process, and trust in my work and in my coaches, my teammates, everybody. And like you said, going out to Fight Island and seeing Brandon perform like that, just like a fucking gangster, and then seeing Luigi the next weekend get another. I mean, two guys, two bonuses, and in 2 weeks, and we've got a lot more to go. There's two more weeks of Factory X guys fighting out there, so that all fuels the fire and just kind of reassures what I'm working on,
I know you've probably seen it. It seems like a lot of fans like to see you lose. Just ever since that Cerrone fight, I think people weren't too happy with their thing.
Motherfuckers got a cult following for that Cerrone. So for sure. But I mean, this is the most fickle sport of absolute all time, and like I realized that in Houston was the craziest experience ever. I was at the Jones and Reyes fight, and everybody was adoring just Jones the whole night, right? Everybody was clamoring for Jones and chanting his name, and it was Jones's city. And then Reyes has one good round, and the entire arena switched on him. I never seen anything like it. I'm like, you guys are pieces of shit, dude. Like, you don't see Bears fans throwing off their jerseys after the first quarter, Like, you don't see that in any other sport, that fickle of fans. You can do People will see the bigger picture. All they have is that kind of snapshot, and for a lot of people, they didn't like it. For other people, they loved it. But the only way to right my wrongs or write my narrative the way I need it to be is to stack W's. I mean, that's it. People love winners. You could say and do whatever the fuck you want when you're winning. Had I won that fight and I didn't choke it up, I'd be blowing my balls. All those same fans of Cerrone's would be fans of mine to be blowing my balls and they'd be taking off their cowboy hats. So it's just it's a fickle game, and when you throw those touchdown passes, you have to be ready to throw the interception too. And I got a fucking interception that night, so it just is what it is. But the story's not done, dude. I'm so green in this game, and I just now align myself with a highly professional mixed martial arts gym that every one of my opponents have been a part of for a decade, leading up to the fight, leading up to their fight with me. So I really mean it when I say, like, dude, I'm just getting started. Like, I'm really just finding my own. So I'm excited. I just need to keep going, and people will get the full narrative.
Just a few more things before I let you go. This is going to be Chris Ferris fighting this, like, no fans and all that. Like, how do you think that's going to play back? Because you've done that once, this COVID, all that fight week and stuff.
I don't think it'll matter. Like, I don't really think any of that. Like, I just don't bank on that, like, being a factor. Like it might, but it's not anything I ever. I think people just kind of go in there and then they scrap. A lot of us have had empty arena fights or just like weird barnyard fights on the way up, or sometimes you'll get like a big arena with like 20 people in it. So, I'm not considering that as being a factor for either one of us. I think we just go in there and deal with the problem in front.
And just last thing, who's gonna be your corner for your first fight with Factory X? Mark Montoya, and who else is gonna be in there?
Yeah, with Jason Yarrington with Ohana, because I still work closely with him, of course, because he's my ground wizard, and Mark's Mark's all around, but Mark's specialty is on the feet. So it really worked out nicely. And so Mark Montoya, Jason Yerington, and really I'm still trying to figure out the third right now.
All right, well, Alex, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks, dude.
All right, we're joined by UFC heavyweight who's got a big fight coming up against Greg Hardy. Maurice Green. Maurice, how's it going?
Man, you know, it's lovely, man. I can't, you know, I'm in a good place, especially going into this fight. You know, going into my last fight, there was a lot of worry and a lot of emotion. Going into this fight, man, I'm feeling great. I'm just happy. So that's all that really matters at this point.
This was a fight you've talked about for a while. Are you surprised you're getting this one now?
I haven't really talked about it. A lot of people said I should fight Greg Hardy. Maybe I should turn this one. Is that better?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So a lot of people said I should fight Greg Hardy, but it was like, you know, kind of how I felt in the moment is where I'm at in my career. Like, why? You know, I'm not making no Greg Hardy money to fight Greg Hardy. Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, I'll fight anybody any day of the week, but, you know, the stars got aligned with the zeros behind it. And, you know, I'm trying to feed the family. I'm trying to build a life just like we all are, man. You know? This is just a good time for me to fight Greg, I guess, you know? And it really could have been anybody. So, you know, I appreciate the UFC for even, you know, offering the fight to me, versus anybody else. Cause they could have offered it to other people, you know, but they offered it to the Crochet Boss, and, they know what I'm going to deliver. They know what Greg's going to deliver, you know, and then that's just it. I think it's a good fight on paper, baby.
Heading into this fight, how much better is your confidence and momentum now? Just coming off that win, snap the losing streak, and it looks like your confidence, just even talking to you, like it seems like your confidence back to where it was.
Oh, man, my confidence was always there. I was never a factor. I felt like I could beat Alexi. I felt like I could beat Sergey, and, you know, and I still feel like I could beat both of them. But the fact of the matter is I lost, whatever. I'm just mentally and, you know, everything's feeling good again. You know, I made a couple changes in my life and those are big changes, and everything's feeling good. So that's when, you know, when they talk about like your unit outside. Sorry, guys. When they talk about like your, you know, everything outside of the gym, you know. The gym is your sanctuary. You know, I finally learned how to like, hey, throw everything away, go in here and put some work in for an hour or 2 hours at a time. Like put some real work in. Everything else doesn't matter. And I do that now, but outside is much better. And, you know, I just, you know, you got to find your place in this whole game. You got to find what suits you and fits you and getting everything you need. For the first time in my MMA career, you know, I can live in one place and get everything I need. I don't have to go anywhere else unless I choose to. And that's huge, you know. That's huge for me and my family. You know, it's hard to have daddy away for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, you know, 10 weeks. You know what I mean? It's not like I flew home every weekend. We ain't there yet. You know, you got to levels to this game. So it's a happier person. And that's going in to fight Greg Hardy. He's another power puncher. I'll put it like this.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to say it. Greg Hardy is an athlete. He's very athletic. He's a fucking athlete. Guess what? Athletes win fights. Okay? But I'm a mixed martial artist, though. And I think there's two different, you know, he's on his way to become that. I am that. You know, and there's people that are better than me along their way, but, you know, I'm a mixed martial artist. He's an athlete. That being said, he's always dangerous, and he has my undivided attention.
Well, that's part of what I want to touch on is Greg Hardy. We've seen all the work, quick knockouts on the regional scenes. Even the UFC's got some knockouts. But to me, this fight, I think your experience, you're miles better on the ground, your wrestling and all that. Like, is that part of the game plan is to get this fight down to the ground, test his jiu-jitsu? Because a lot of people just view Greg Hardy as this striker.
Bro, part of the game plan is the fight. It's the fight. You know, some guys go in with these elaborate game plans. I don't do that. I've never been that fighter, you know. You got to be able to make adjustments on the fly, man. If a takedown presents itself, you know, I got some takedowns in my back pocket to do. Okay, when we get to the ground, depending where we are, you know, there's things I work off of what he gives me. You know, I'm working off the I'm working off what the offense gives me, right? You know, if he gives me a look, you know, I'll take it. You know, I'll go on. It's just whatever he defensively, actually what the defense gives me, whatever he defensively gives me, you know, or he throws something offensively, it's going to make me react a certain way, not necessarily defend, but I may impose my will at those times. And, you know, I really, what do we know? It's really hard leg kicks, so don't we all. He can hit really hard, so don't we all. He can knock you out, so don't we all. But there's just some technical differences in mine and his game that are a little bit different. And on October 31st, trick or treat, motherfucker, we're gonna see who's there to go to hell, because I am.
And something else I want to touch on is Greg Hardy's normally used to being this bigger fighter. You're taller, you have the bigger reach. The one time Greg Hardy fought someone harder was – or fought someone taller was Volkov, and he had a lot of trouble figuring out that reach and not being able to land the jab before they can hit him. Like, do you think that's going to play a factor in this fight, is you being the taller fighter?
No. You got to understand something. When he goes through an experience like that, him and his camp go back, they break down and dissect that fight, and guess what they start doing? They start putting things in place to change that in the future. So I think I'm going to see the best Greg Hardy that we've seen, and you're going to see the best Maurice Greene that you've seen, and we're going to see who's going to win that night. You know, it's going to be a hell of a fight. So that's just where I'm at with it, man. You know, I'm never going to downplay a man's raw talent, because then that means I'm taking him lightly, and you start doing that, and that's how you start losing fights. You know, I'm here to stay.
Greg Hardy, obviously the former NFL Pro Bowler, like, although he doesn't have that much fights in MMA, like, do you think this is the biggest name you fought so far in your career?
What you mean biggest name? From a mixed martial arts standpoint? Hell no. From
the mainstream audience.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I thought Alexa Lennox was a pretty big name, yeah. But I guess from the mainstream of people, of course, you know. And that doesn't make a difference. I really don't care about that. Because at the end of the day, getting your hand raised and getting a W is what matters in the UFC. And with my fight style, it's hard for my fights to be boring. You know, it's very, very hard for my fights to be boring because of what I thrive on and what works for me is what a lot of people want to see.
So, you come from that decorated kickboxing background. So how do you see this fight playing? Because obviously Hardy is someone that likes to keep this fight standing.
Let's put it like this, man. I had no pro kickboxing experience and went right into glory, all right? He had no pro MMA experience and went right into the UFC pretty much. So I didn't do too bad in the glory. I had some tough fights. I showed a lot of heart. So he's just like me, and look where I am, you know. Look where I am. You know, I jumped in. I took my first fight in 30 days and got it cracking, right? So it's very similar, and look where I am. So it's going to be a good fight. Let's put it that way. It's going to be a good fight. I know he's going to be ready to fight, and I'm going to be ready to fight. He'll be making more noise than me trying to look like a gremlin and all of his little stupid faces. And I'm going to look at him with that stone cold face, and we're about to get it cracking, and I hope he's ready. You know, I want to break somebody, man, you know. I've never broken somebody, like physically broke somebody. You can feel people breaking there. You can hear them. You can hear them when they whining while you whooping their ass. I want to break somebody, man. And it's nothing personal against any of my opponents. It's just a personal thing for me. You know, sometimes you want to feel certain things. And there's a reason why all of us do this, because there's, you know, we want to feel a certain way in the moment. And I just want to break somebody, man. I don't know how I want to break them, but I want to break them. Man. And, you know, we'll see. October 31st, man, you know, I got a lot riding on it. You know, every fight's the biggest fight. You know, I'm still trying to provide and feed my family and make sure my kids don't have to want for nothing. So, you know, respectfully, humbly, you know, I want to break somebody. And, you know, I'm sure he wants to do the same, and we'll see. You know, I'm with the shits and I'm down for the cause. So let's have some fun.
Obviously, Greg isn't a ranked guy. You were ranked. You're probably right on that edge being ranked. Do you think a win here gets you a ranked opponent next?
A ranked opponent? I just want – I mean, yeah. I mean, I would assume so, you know. But I'm not worried about the rankings, really, man. You know, the crochet ball's going to do crochet boss things, and the UFC seems – I think they like me, you know. I love my employer. They've been doing right by me. As you can see, I've fought. It's my seventh fight in my less than 2 year tenure at the UFC. You know, not even at 2 years yet. So, I think it's a good relationship so far. And, you know, I've only ever wanted to be with an organization that, even if they don't, made me feel like I'm appreciated. And, you know, from the staff all the way up to the head man, Mr. White, and everybody, Dana, the CrossFit boss feels nothing but happiness. So, you know, we're going to go out October 31st. You know, they threw your boy a bone. Whatever they want to happen in that bone, who cares? I think they just want to see a good fight. That's why they put it together. They threw your boy a bone. You know, I'm going to go gobble that shit up and walk away with my hand raised. You know?
Well, that's what I want to touch on is you're a guy that you are extremely active. You might be one of the most active heavyweights on the roster. Was that part of the goal after Tough was to keep turning these fights out? Because it seems like every 2-3 months you're fighting again.
No, man, I got a family to feed. You know, you got family feeding. You know, you guys know how these first contracts go.
Yeah.
You don't really start making money. I can tell you, you know, you could be depending on who you are and what you bring to whatever division or the UFC. You could be making money first or second contract. Well, I came in with a Tough contract. We all know how those go, you know. And that's like, hey, let me see if you belong, kind of. Okay. Like, you were good on the show. We gave you a chance. Let's see if you belong, you know. And I was able to, you know, changing my situation and however many fights. And, you know, I went 3-0. And, yeah, the UFC, I'll put it this way. The UFC treats me very well. And, you know, they just want to see more out of me, but just like I want to see out of myself. And, I said in many interviews, they got a stack of money over there. And they're like, you can come get it. All you got to do is go win these fights. We're going to throw you bones. Just win these fights. And so I'm at with it. You know, I'm at peace. I'm at peace with being locked in a smaller cage with a big, athletic, strong man. You know, it is what it is. You get knocked out, you just go to sleep. They wake you up. What's the problem? And,
right now, you guys are listed on the co-main event of Anderson Silva fight. We were talking before we started going live. Anderson Silva's a guy you looked up to. This is his retirement fight. So what's that mean to you to be able to share that card with him?
You know, hopefully I got enough time to actually like meet him for the first time. It's, I don't know. For me, it's pretty major. Pretty major, you know, somebody I've looked up to my whole career, absolute whole career, and I've never met him. And it'd be pretty dope. And like I said, Uriah is just a good dude, man. He's just good dude, you know, very helpful. I remember me and Uriah were sparring at the PI, and I'm sitting there, and he literally looked at me. He goes, Maurice, stop respecting me. He goes, stop. You're giving me too much respect. Stop respecting me. And, you know, sparring kind of went a little different. That was, I think, the first time that I've actually seen, like, I thought, like, don't respect him. Why have you sparring him? Stop. You know, like, you have a certain level of respect, but, you know, I understood what he meant. And it made me a bit of a different fighter, you know. I can go on and on. He was on our season. We saw him quite a bit, so it's hard for me to pick. It's gonna be nice to watch the fight. How about that? You know,
just a few more things is back to your fight. Is we've seen normally when Greg Hardy gets the knockouts, it's early in the fights, and as the fight goes on, it seems like that power goes down a bit. I know you see you don't have a set game plan, but is in the back of the mind that's like, let's get this to the second, third round? Because even your last fight, we saw you get a late finish.
I don't care, doesn't matter to me. This is the problem. You know, I'm not thinking, oh, I got to finish it in one. Oh, I got to drag him to second. It's, I got something that I want to run in my head. And if he can keep up, he'll last. If he can't keep up, he'll drown. That's kind of where I'm at with it. You know, if he gives me an opening, I finish. If he doesn't, I'm selling him for 3 hard fucking rounds. I mean, that's, you know, I'm just not that guy to say, I'm going to knock him out and do that. No. No, you guys know my game plan. You're going to give me a chance to finish. We go to the ground. You're going to give me a chance to choke. I'm going to choke the life out you. And if you tapping and the ref can't see, you're just going to have to go to sleep because I'm not going to let go until the ref pulls me off. That's happened to me before, and I almost lost, actually, after I choked the guy unconscious. So, and then woke up.
And just last thing, your old pal Juan Espino got his first UFC win over Jeff Hughes. I know you guys fought on Tough. You guys didn't like each other. You're obviously way ahead of him in the rankings, but down the line, is that a fight you'd be interested in again?
I don't know. If it makes sense, like if it makes sense, you know, I talk to Juan. I'm friends with him. I follow him. You know, I'm probably one of the happiest guys that he's been able to fight. You know, he won our season, and you know, I was big, and he's 39 and he's still fucking an athlete. I mean, I'm a fan of Juan, so I mean, if it made sense and I talked to him and you know, we was making some good money, yeah, but I mean, like right now, nah. Like, why would we do that? We're better off training together and learning from each other, you know? There's a lot of ways that he can help me and I can help him. So we've had this conversation. So I don't know, you know?
All right, well, Maurice, that's all I have for you. Thanks so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you. Thank you. Hey, if you don't know, now you know, it's the Crochet Boss, UFC heavyweight, soon to be champ. We don't know how long, you know, sometimes it just takes time, people, but, follow your boy on Instagram at the Crochet Boss and get the exclusive. I'll have some apparel out soon.
Yeah, and get your own and buy his own crochet hats.
Yeah, I know. I got to make them and put them up, though. And listen, no requests. I'm too busy. I can't. I'm going to put colors out. You like it, buy it. If not, you better wait for the drop to come out. Sign up for the email list. I appreciate all you. Not trying to be cocky. I appreciate all you. I love all my fans, and thank you, everybody, for watching me, following me, continuing following me, and guys like Colton to call me and do this damn interview, like wanting to do it with the Crochet Boss. So you guys allow me to be who I want to be, so I appreciate you.
All right, we're joined by James Carosa, just picked up a big win. James, how's it going?
Good, good. Good to be back home.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get into your fight, that whole Fight Island experience, taking it on short notice, was it any different fighting this time compared to going out there to corner?
Oh yeah, it's a different ball game. Man, just the dynamic of it as a fighter is really tough. It's, you know, the sleep schedule is crazy. You know, the flight is pretty tough. The, you know, just everything about it is really difficult, to be honest. But it is what it is. You know, that's kind of what you sign up for when you go out there. But I think people drastically underestimate the travel and the sleep and the weight cut because you are lacking of sleep and your sleep schedule's off and you traveled. So it all kind of like takes a toll on your body.
And in the fight, you obviously had, I thought you won all three rounds. Did that fight kind of go how you thought it would?
Yeah, you can watch any interview that I did before. It pretty much went exactly how I thought it would, minus getting a finish. You know, I think if my knee wouldn't have been hurt, I think I would have gotten that finish. But yeah, it went pretty much how I thought it would. I thought my jiu-jitsu, if it did hit the floor, I thought my jiu-jitsu would be able to, you know, nullify his. I didn't think he could sub me. You know, I think Sergio Moraes is a far better credentialed jiu-jitsu player than him. And he had me in side mount and couldn't, you know, I'm a black belt too. You know what I mean? So like, he's not anything out of my league, but I didn't think he could get me down. I think my wrestling is way better than his. And I think the striking department is big, you know, big levels. And I feel like that's exactly what happened in the fight.
I know when we talked before, you said that was going to be similar to Sergio Moraes' fight. And I thought the same. I thought you would get that third, maybe late in the second round finish. So
yeah.
Do you think if your knee wasn't gone, it was there? Because you were even rocking even when your knee was pretty much gone.
Yeah, my knee being hurt definitely was a big factor. I almost fell over a couple times. There's no stability in it. It's just, I had a really hard time moving left to right on it. And it, yeah, it was really tough to put any weight on it. I was super lead leg heavy, and it was really hard to get any type of power going. I was kind of just sniping at him, but it happened about 50 seconds left in the first round, and as the fight went on, especially into the third, it hurt pretty good. So,
and have you got that looked at? Like, do you know what exactly the extent of the injury is?
Yeah, I had an ultrasound done on it yesterday morning. It looks like it's a partial tear of my MCL, but I have an MRI today on it.
And how long will that keep you out? I guess because you're kind of coaching, is it just kind of you marking the return?
I don't think it'll keep me out any longer than I would be out anyway. So, you know, I'm guessing 6 months maybe. I'm not sure. I don't think it'll be a player or a factor in, you know, me able to take another fight or not.
This is back-to-back short notice fights. Do you think that's kind of what's best for you at this time? Just because your coach schedule is so hectic that you just kind of got to get one when you can get one.
For sure. This fight was, you know, by design that basically if I didn't fight on the island, I wasn't going to fight again for the rest of the year and probably most into next year. So I really pushed for a short notice fight. And luckily that fight came up. I really liked the matchup. You know, the puzzle of Claudio Silva not being beaten in the UFC or ever really, you know, his one loss is a disqualification. So, he's got good wins. Beat Leon Edwards, Nordine Taleb, Danny Roberts. He got some good wins, you know. So that the matchup intrigued me quite a bit, and I feel like that I could figure out the puzzle. I feel like I had it, you know what I mean? So I think one of the things I bring to the table is well-rounded. You know, I can grapple with the elite grapplers. I can strike with the elite strikers, you know, and I think that helps me kind of be able to dictate where the fight takes place. And, you know, I fought Marias right before this, and it was a very similar matchup. So I feel like I'd already had this fight, you know, I'd already trained for this. So the short notice wasn't a big deal for me.
And where do you think that win puts you? Cause he was a guy that like his only loss was a DQ, but he wasn't ranked, but he's still like that long winning streak.
I'm not sure, man. Like, I don't really worry about where it puts me or what's next or any of that shit. Everybody knows I kind of put coaching before my own fighting career, and that's so different now. You know what I mean? I really don't care about the rankings. I don't care about the title and none of that bullshit. And I know that's not the answer people want to hear, but it is the truth. So, I'll tell you, it puts me in another win. It puts money in my bank. That's where it puts me.
I don't know if you saw Michael Chiesa's tweet, but after your fight, he's like, if James Kraus was active, he'd be for sure a top 10 welterweight. Like, do you think that would be the case? Is if you weren't a coach, you're just all about fighting, you would have been ranked by now?
100%.
When did you make that decision to just take more focus on coaching rather than your own career?
It kind of just snowballed, you know. It kind of just snowballed into something a little bit bigger. It got bigger faster than I thought it would. And, you know, I took on all these guys, and I feel like when you take on that, you know, these guys and you coach these guys, it's kind of your responsibility to do so. You know, like if you're saying, hey, I'm your coach, that's kind of, if you're putting yourself before them, that's not very coach-like. That's not very leader-like, you know? So, you know, I feel like whenever I took on the responsibility to coach these guys, whenever I say, hey, I'm your coach, you know, that's when it happens, you know, that's just how it works. And I think we got better a lot faster than I thought we would. So, must be doing something right. You know what I mean? And it's not by accident. You know, we're very organized here, and I think we're doing some things differently than a lot of gyms. I think we have a very new school approach to the game. And I think it's showing with my fighters right now. Our team's riding a really big high. I know it'll come down. You know, this game's a roller coaster. It always does. And I get that. But I feel like we've at least done a good job this year of showing that we're a premier team in the world for high level fighters.
Well, what I really like about your team is and I think this might be from you coaching, is none of you guys are scared to take those short notice fights. Is that something that you've really preached to them? Is you got to take your opportunity when you get with it?
Yeah, my guys are always ready, man. We stay in the gym. There's a very blue collar work ethic style here, man. Like we it's day in, day out. Chop wood, carry water. It's a book. Chop wood, carry water is a book basically about a samurai archer. The long story short is this: day in, day out. Like you just do. You don't have to change anything. It's nothing sexy. It's just dirty hard work every single day, and that's what my guys do. They put work in every single day. So for us, one day, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, it doesn't matter to us. Like, my guys are ready. You know, we're always ready to fight.
And after the fight, you mentioned Joaquin Buckley, and I think a lot of people thought it was that fake Twitter account, but I heard from some people this was, like, stemming from years ago when he was in Bellator. Like, when did you first get wind of him?
No, he messaged me about 6 weeks ago and asked to come train at my gym, and I told him no. He didn't like that and got lippy with me, so I got lippy back.
And what is kind of, do you have a requirement to be able to train your gym? Cause it seems like you have a specific kind of people you want in your gym.
Yeah. Like, well, first of all, he's been kicked out of every gym in St. Louis because he's an asshole. Like, nobody wants to train with him. All he does is try to hurt his training partners. All he wants to do is fight. He doesn't want to get better. He doesn't want to learn. That's just right there. That's grounds enough for me. Like, I had 35 people on my mat this morning at 10 AM. Like, we're good. I don't need more people. You know what I mean? He called me, not the other way around, or he messaged me, not the other way around. Like, you see his pictures. He's training with like 4 and 5 guys. Like, I don't need help. We got a good team. He needs my team, not the other way around. So, and he basically asked like if he could come spar, and I said, like, that's just not how it works here. You're either on my team or you're not. He's like, oh, it's just obvious you're scared. Like, I've been in the UFC longer than you've been fighting, man.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here with that nonsense. Miss me with that shit, dude. I just don't like his attitude, man. I think his attitude sucks. Like, I don't want that attitude in my gym. It's not a fit for my team. He's very selfish. He doesn't want to learn. He just wants to fight people. Like, go somewhere else with that. It's just, you know, and it's not an issue. People are making out like, I don't like him. He doesn't like me. Who fucking cares? Like, get on, you know what I mean? Get on down the road. I mean, you're not a good fit for my team. Go somewhere else. If it makes you mad, get lost. I don't care.
And he's even mentioned after that win over Impa that he wanted to fight you. I know he's a middleweight, but does that have any intrigue to you?
Let's go. Send me a contract, bro. Like, I'm not scared to fucking fight that dude. No way, no how. Like, I'll beat the shit out of that kid.
And obviously, coming up in about like 2 months is Megan Anderson's big fight. Amanda Nunes, it's kind of like a similar thing. Like, she's a tough, no one's really been able to solve that puzzle. Like, how do you, Megan Anderson's like reach and size, I think that's going to be a big factor where Nunes hasn't really fought anyone like that.
Yeah, well, what Megan brings to the table is power, first of all, you know, and that's, she's got real power, real danger factor. And, you know, people say Amanda has dealt with that with Cyborg, and that's true. She has dealt with that, but it's a different type of power. I feel like Cyborg is a hook uppercut type power and a physical power. Megan is a very, very straight punch power. She's a sniper. She's accurate. It's about power and accuracy, where Cyborg is just like, you know, I'm physically strong, but Megan is very accurate. She's very technical. And I think that's something that they have to respect with us. But you know, anytime that you watch any football game or basketball game or whatever, and if it's a blowout, so you can't really take the whole game, right? Like, so you have to look at individual plays, individual exchanges that happened that maybe she lost. And that's what we're focusing on. We're focusing on little plays that maybe we can take advantage of.
Obviously, do you think your gym is still probably like 2 years away from really getting all the credit you fully deserve, just because it seems like a lot of those guys are just up and coming, like Grant Dawson, Megan Anderson, like Kevin Kroom. Like, I think in a year or two, everyone's gonna be like, really start taking notice of your gym.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't really worry about that. You know what I mean? Like, it'll come whenever it comes. That's on you guys. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The media decides that, not me. We're gonna do the same thing regardless. You know, so it doesn't matter to me where you guys rank us, or, you know what I mean? Like, we're gonna do the same thing. So if we get credit now, cool. If we get credit 2 years from now, awesome. It's not really going to change what we're doing. We're, like I said before, we're a blue collar work ethic team, and our team works really hard. We're hungry. And my guys want to fight, and they want to be active, and they're good. They're all really good, you know? So, yeah, you know, to answer your question in a little bit nicer way. Yeah, probably, you know, a year or two. I'm not really sure, you know, I don't know. It'll take some big wins maybe. But we have some really good prospects out of here that have fights coming up. I'm not sure what it takes to get on that list. You know what I mean? But I feel like if this year hasn't shown that we're a premier team in the world to produce elite level fighters or high level fighters, then I don't know what else will.
And just last thing, you touched on it after your fight, saying the sleep schedule sucked. Do you think that's something that not enough people are talking about? Because I know Paulo Costa mentioned it, Dominic Reyes mentioned it, that just because you're trying to sleep during the day, but then the UFC has you doing all the media when you're supposed to be sleeping. Like, do you think that's something they should try to fix next time they go to Fight Island?
I mean, it's just the nature of the beast, man. You know, it's tough. It is tough. It's hard. I don't know if they should fix it. I don't know if it's even fixable. But yeah, I mean, it's a different, it reminds me a lot of the Ultimate Fighter, you know, just a lot of like unexpected things that you're like, oh shit, you know, like, this is different, you know, it's a lot of that. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't think they can fix it. You know, I mean, I think, to be on the US schedule to fight, I think that is what it is. That's what has to be done. So, I think the fighters just need to understand what they're up against whenever they do it. And as long as they understand what they're up against, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, as long as everything's out in the open, it is what it is.
All right, well, James, thank you so much for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, man. Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right, joined by former UFC bantamweight, now fighting for UFC, Brad Katona. Brad, how's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Obviously, big fight up in EMC, but before we get into that, I want to get into your UFC career. You obviously won the Ultimate Fighter. Mm-hmm. You lost, dropped two fights in a row. When you got cut, I think that was it was a surprise to a lot of people. What did you kind of think of when you got the news?
I don't know what words I can use, but for pretty much everything you could think of, yeah, it was just, I've said this before, but I remember the day, and it was a Tuesday. I just finished a jiu-jitsu practice, and it wasn't jiu-jitsu practice that went really well. It was one of those bad sessions.
Yeah.
And then I go to the change room and I get a text from John because he was away. And I guess he found out earlier in the week and he wanted to talk to me in person when he was back. But unfortunately, they sent an email out. So he knew I was going to, he wanted the first contact to at least be him telling me and not just me opening up my email on a innocent Tuesday night and getting the news. But yeah, disappointing. It's ridiculous, but it is what it is. Like, even looking at my last fight, I think I put in a very good performance. I didn't turn guys down. You know, it's one of those where it feels like I'm making excuses and anything I can say, hey, I think I won this fight and I won every stat in this fight and this is why. But like, that doesn't matter. No, at this point, nobody cares. Like, really. Yeah. Like, that's a year ago and they made their decision and whatever guided their decision. I don't know why it doesn't make sense to me to cut me and then sign like a talented guy, a very skilled fighter, but then sign Kyler Phillips. And I'd argue my last two fights were a step up in competition compared to what he's competed against. Like, I fought Hunter, who was 9-0 at the time, and Marab, who's now fighting Cody Stamann, and he's in the top 10 at least. Like, it's one of those where I go, well, you know, if you gave me these guys, you know, but I still think I'm world class, and I think, yeah, I just need to prove it, and I'm going to do that.
And if you look at the Ultimate Fighter, you beat Kyler Phillips, who's having success in the UFC, and you beat Bryce Mitchell, who is all the rage right now. So is that even more surprising?
Bryce Mitchell.
Finish Bryce Mitchell.
I like the guy. I'm honestly happy for Bryce Mitchell's success. You know, after his first one or two fights, I was like, put him on the damn mics. Like let him speak, because he's an interesting guy. He's an intelligent kid. Like, he's... And he's skilled, and he goes there, he delivers, he's just an interesting personality. So after spending that much time with him in the house, I was like, oh yeah, this guy's probably going to blow up, you know, and fortunately I got to compete against him, and I got a finish in that fight. But yeah, it seems like all that got discounted right away. They're like, two fights gone, even though I'd argue I won my last one. And before that, I fought Marab, who, now has gone on a 3 or 4 fight tear.
And no one wants to fight Marab,
you know, like, and I did, and I was happy to, you know, and I feel like if I fought him again, I'd beat him. Obviously he's gotten better. I've gotten better. It was just one of those where he put it together on that night. And at this level, I guess that's what it is, but you know, he's game. He's willing to fight anybody. And yeah, I guess I don't know what I did wrong. Like, I said yes, and I went out there and I performed. Like, I think against Matthew Lopez, that should have been a finish. Against Bryce Mitchell, that was a finish. But then all those get completely discounted the minute you lose. It's like, man, that sucks. I don't agree with it. Obviously, I'm watching these guys compete who I've beaten, you know, and I'm going, well, you know, I'd be doing the same, if not better. You know, I just got given harder competition, in my opinion. So it is what it is. You know, I'm just looking at not even rebuilding, just continuing on. Like, I proved I was world-class in the house. I proved I was world-class competing in the UFC. So now I just need to prove I'm world-class outside of it as well. So 2021 should be exciting. 2020 is already exciting with this fight coming up. So I'm just looking forward to get that ball rolling again, because it has been a year.
And that's what kind of surprised you. When you got released, I thought a lot of these promotions would be all over you. Why did it take so long to sign with the new promotion?
There's a damn pandemic. It's not the best time to, or wasn't the best time to be a free agent, you know. And just recently, you know, Bellator started putting on events, UFC's putting on events, Braves putting on events. Yeah, everything's going again. Everything's up and running, you know. So that is hopeful. That I'm going to be somewhere, you know, not like I have anything against who I'm fighting for next. It's a great show. They're putting on events, and that's why I signed with them, because there was the opportunity. It's hard to be like, hey, I haven't competed in a year, and I am coming off some losses. Sign me right away and give me a nice, juicy contract. You know, that's a harder sell than me going out, taking out a top prospect in Europe, a guy who's 8-1 for a title, and then see what happens. Just see what the landscape looks like. Every day things are looking better and better, it seems, with regards to sport, you know. So I'm excited for the future. It's not looking past this. Like I said, I have a top prospect out there I'm about to fight, and it is five rounds. So I have a big job ahead of me. I got my work cut out for me. But you know what? Once again, it all comes down to just making myself undeniable and proving that I am world class, and I know I am. You know, it's I'm excited. I hope that comes off that I'm excited, because it's been a long time. It's been a lot of work, man.
And you are fighting for the belt, but is this just a one fight deal, or is this a multi fight deal with the MC?
You know, to be perfectly honest, it is a multi fight deal, but we do have some outs in case a big organization wants us. You know, and that was one reason why we went with them was they put on an event September 5th. They're putting on an event October 31st, you know, so they're putting on events quite often. So if we don't get picked up by one of the bigger organizations, then at least we'll stay inactive and we'll fight in good guys. You know, that's what I built my career off of, which is fighting good guys. You know, you look at the records of the guys I beat, it wasn't like I was fighting. I don't think I fought anybody. I fought one guy who had a negative record, you know, and that was at 155 on about a week's notice. So like that was the only reason I hopped on that one. But you look at everybody I fought, they've all been good. If I beat them when they were 1-0, they went on and became 6-1 or something, you know, I built a career off that. So that's what I'm going to do. You know, if nobody wants me after this fight, if I don't prove I'm undeniable at the end of this fight, then I'll do it again. And then I'll do it again. And I'll keep on doing it until, you know, I'm fighting for, you know, a top organization and top organization's belt.
I was surprised you didn't sign with Bellator, just because SBG Ireland has such a big relationship with Bellator. Like, with their past events is basically SBG Ireland versus the world. Like, was that, did they show any interest in you, or they kind of want you to get a win first?
You know, it's, speaking with management, this was kind of our best approach, you know, especially with everything as it was. You know, let's say the news broke that I got released in January, February. I was injured at that time, but then also trying to navigate that ground of, okay, exactly what do we do next? What's the best move? Is it try to get back to the UFC? Is it sign with Bellator? Is it go with Brave or KSW? Or is it, you know, fight on the regional scene? Or, you know, what is the best course of action? You know, and it was a bit of a shock. It's not like we had all these contingency plans in place just in case, you know, it was a bit of a shock. I signed with management, and we just decided, well, by the time we started looking at the landscape of things, it's the pandemic, you know. Yeah. And it's hard to go to, you know, let's say a Bellator or anybody else and be like, hey, I don't know when you're going to put on your next event, but you know, you want to give me a contract and say you're going to give me 3 fights in a year, and you know, you don't know when your next event is. You don't know when you're going to be making money, and you also have a backlog of talent they have to keep active. So being perfectly honest, I'd be happy to, like, if Bellator wants to offer me something, I think I stack up very well in that bantamweight division. Actually, I know for a fact I stack up very well in that division. If UFC wants me after this, I fully believe, just looking at the guys I fought and the guys I'm capable of beating, that I can succeed there as well. You know, I'm not turning anybody away. It's just after this one, what's the best opportunity for myself? And thankfully I have a world-class management team to kind of make that, or help advise me, because let's face it, like I'm no expert in MMA management, but they are.
And just one more thing before we get into your fight is there any ill will towards the UFC, or would you go back there if they ended up offering you another contract?
I don't know. I enjoyed my time there. You know, you're going to have fighters saying, oh, screw them. You know, business is business. And whatever the business reason it was, like, I'm going to try to squeeze as much money out of the UFC and as much opportunity out of them as possible. And they're going to try to squeeze as much money and opportunity out of their fighters, you know. And I guess that's where that's kind of my opinion on it. It's, I can't pretend that there's any other major promotion wouldn't be looking out for their own best interest. Now you could argue, look at the past, and Bellator's, you know, there seems a lot of people are happy with Bellator, But there's been a lot of people happy with the UFC. I'm sure you talked to Daniel Cormier, Israel Adesanya. They're not complaining about the UFC treatment either. You know, it's business at the end of the day. I don't understand how it was a good business decision, but for whatever reason, it is what it is. We can try to think of why they did it, or why they cut me and then signed a guy I beat, you know, or why they cut me and not the guy who turned me down. You know, it's like, I don't understand it, but it is what it is. So, yeah, it's confusing, but I my mind's open in terms of which promotion I'd fight for after this, or, you know, alongside this promotion. You know, it all depends on the deal, but I'm just excited to prove my worth, really, and that's what it comes down to. We can say, this shouldn't have happened, this shouldn't happen, prove it, you know, and that's what I'm going to do in October.
And now your fight, I might not say his name right, but Bursic, he's one of the top European prospects out there. A lot of North American people might not know him, but he's a guy that I've heard a lot of good things about and someone that a lot of promotions are eyeing. So what do you think a win over him does for you? Because he's a guy that has some hype in Europe, has a lot of finishes. Like, what do you think that win does for you?
You know, how do I win? You know, do I make it look easy? Yeah, that sells me very well. You know, if I go out there and I finish him, obviously, and I think I'm more than capable of doing that. You know, it's one of those things. Almost anything he does, I can pretty much say for certain I do better. You know, once again, prove it. You know, and that's what I'm going to do, and that's what I am excited to do. You know, so. I think a win over him and why we took this fight and why I'm happy as five rounds is it brings maybe a little bit more attention on it, makes it a little bit more prestigious, you know, winning a belt in a regional promotion. You know, it's a very good stepping stone onto bigger and better things. And that's not taking this lightly or looking past them. You know, it's looking right through me, and there's so much opportunity at the end of this that I need to make sure I get the job done. Otherwise, we can talk about Bellator, we can talk about the UFC, but, man, go out there and beat them, and that's my job. You know, I need to go out there and put on a sensational performance, and that's what I'm preparing to do. You know, I've been working hard for this, so I'm excited about it. I'm really, it's not just a fight camp. It's been a full year of improvement, you know, so it's really, let's show off the it's not even the new me, the improved me, you know, it's me, but also with a little bit of an edge now, because, man, like, what else do I have to lose? Like, basically everything got taken away from me at this point, so I'm going to take it all back.
Is there some pressure? Do you think there's more added pressure on you in this fight just because you kind of have to prove everyone wrong? Because, like, a loss here, and then maybe everyone goes, oh, the UFC was right in cutting you and whatnot.
Yeah, I guess that can be pressure, or it can be motivation. You know, it's not any more pressure after my last UFC fight, or like before my last UFC fight. I was coming off a loss, and I wanted a good performance, and I put in a hard camp. You know, I can look at all the times pressure was on me. You know, it can be, you know, being in the house where you know, Tyler Phillips and the coaches chose me for the first fight at featherweight, and I had about, I think, 4 days notice for that fight, you know, so it's like there's pressure there where if I lose there, you know, I'm done. Or in the finale when the contract was on the line and they cut both guys who ended up losing in the finale, you know, so there's pressure no matter what. Pressure is no stranger to me, you know, I excel in it. We can look at every opportunity where there has been the most pressure and I've excelled. So, maybe there's pressure, but I'm comfortable here, man. Like, it's and being for a title, it's only right.
How do you see this fight playing out? Because he obviously has some solid jiu-jitsu. Like, just looking down his record, has some special wins, has some knockout. Like, he's like a 13-second knockout, so he's obviously a dangerous guy. How do you see it playing out?
I see him starting hot, but I have 25 minutes, and that's not going to say, oh, I'm going to weather the storm. I have no intention of getting my butt kicked for 2-3 rounds and then hope he gets tired. You know, I'm going to take the fight to him and I'm going to test him. You know, really, I'm going to be doing the right thing consistently, and it all matters if he can keep up with that. You know, it's at some point maybe fatigue, he makes a mistake, or just a lack of knowledge, and he's going to make a mistake. You know, what I see is a guy who has well-rounded skills, but he relies on his attributes a lot. Like he relies on being fast, and he relies on being strong. But, you know, everyone's fast and strong that I fought. You know, you don't think Hunter was big and strong. You know, you don't think Rob was strong. You don't think Bryce Mitchell at 145 was strong. Like, they're all strong. They all hit hard. You know, everyone cracks. You know, Kyler Phillips being fast. Like, these are just names I can pull out of a hat and be like, well, that's how I fought a fast guy. This is how I fought a hard, like, a strong guy. And these are all things I bring to the table. So, really, I guess my biggest question is, what does he have that can beat me, especially over 25 minutes? He can't just sprint for a round and a half and expect, you know, to get the judges. He has to beat me for at least three of those five rounds. So I'm going to keep on doing the right thing consistently. And at some point they crack, and they usually do.
And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think you fought for the belt in the regional scenes in Canada. So this is your first time fighting for a belt?
Yep, it is my first time fighting for a belt, which is exciting for me. You know, it's you know, people say, oh, how do you get motivated? It's easy finding motivation. I love being in the gym. I love training. So, and man, I love knickknacks. I love the Ultimate Fighter trophy. I'll take a belt. Like, I wouldn't mind that being in my apartment for a little while. You know, I like stuff like that. I have like little medals, little trinkets. Like, man, I love all that stuff. So I'll take a belt.
And just last thing, you haven't fought in a year. So if everything goes your way on October 31st, like, how quickly would you want to turn this thing around?
Pretty quickly, if I can. You know, I'm healthy. As long as I'm healthy, it's not like, okay, I'm going to go starch this guy and then I'm going to fight, you know, a couple weeks later. But I'm healthy. I'm hungry. You know, I want to, like, especially with the sensational performance, if there's a big organization who wants me immediately after it, okay, I'll be on weight and I'll be ready and hopefully I'll be healthy. But really, all that, like, I can say, well, hopefully, but it all depends. You know, the world's changing pretty quick. Things are generally looking better for sport, like I said, but you never know with lockdowns and everything. I'm mostly concerned on getting this one in, and I'd be happy if this was my only fight in 2020. You know, I can't complain. At least I was active. But I would like a quick turnaround, like most fighters say before, but we'll see after. You know, I can't pretend like anybody wins a fight and they don't go, finally I can relax. But I'm looking to roll this into another one if I can.
All right, well, thank you, Brad, so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.